It's not about the technology, it is what you do with it. Welcome to Digital Dash. We are excited about the opportunities technology presents in our modern world, and we spend a lot of time tinkering with the use cases. Join us every week on our podcast as we share our findings and break things down into zeros and ones. Subscribe to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or your favorite podcast app, and enjoy this episode.
Hello guys, and welcome to today's edition of the Digital Dash podcast. My name is Kwame Na'atha, and I'll be speaking to you about blood metals in our phones. So I think there's been a major focus on the environment by many of the smartphone manufacturers. You know, Samsung, Apple, Xiaomi, you name them. They are all beginning to be more conscious of the environment and how exploitation and extraction of some minerals which are needed for various components in the phones may affect us globally. And so I think on the back of that awareness and on the back of that activism, I want to speak to you today about a very key, you know, element or a very key component of our smartphones. I want to talk to you about the origin of it, some parts that makes me a little uncomfortable, and what we may be able to do in future about this.
Just metals, non-living things.
All right, our smartphones require high quality and reliability around capacitors and transistors. Initially, aluminium was used to make some of these transistors, but later on, it was moved from that to a metal ore called columbite or tantalite. Right now, columbite or tantalite is the ore, and it is used to make tantalum capacitors, which are able to provide our smartphones with the desired, you know, high level of quality and reliability that is needed. Now, tantalum is also used in some medical equipment, and the thing is that it's very expensive, right? It's more expensive because obviously it is more durable than the aluminium capacitors that I mentioned. Now, here's the thing: coltan mining, or you know, tantalite mining, like I have mentioned earlier, is very prevalent in the Democratic Republic of Congo. As a matter of fact, it houses over 80% of the world tantalite ore. Yeah. In the year 2000, 1 pound of coltan costed $30. By 2011, it had risen to $300. The sad thing is that child miners are being used to mine this ore, and they are paid $1.5 per pound. Now, here's the thing. Dell, Microsoft, Sony, Apple, Google, you know, they all have devices and they all have products that use tantalum capacitors, and therefore they are actually sourcing some of these minerals from these questionable mines which are located in DRC. Now, like I have mentioned earlier, about 80% of the world's tantalum comes from DRC, and as part of ethical leadership and as part of, you know, trying to do work in a legal and an ethical and a moral way, many of these big companies I have mentioned actually have a supplier list as part of their commodity chain, you know, complex supply chain transparency. So if you go on Apple's website and you check their supplier list, you'd realize that they have about 43 different countries from 6 continents that supplies various aspects or various components which are used in Apple devices, ranging from mobile phones to MacBooks to AirPods Pro, what have you, right? And they actually try to make it very transparent and very easy to read and understand. If you look at the design, of course, we all know that's coming from Apple in USA. If you look at the fabrication, it's from TSMC in Taiwan. If you look at the packaging, it's from Amkor in Philippines. And then the assembly is done in Foxconn in China. I think recently there's been some chatter and some strategic direction to try and move some of the assembly of Apple products to India, but that has faced a couple of hiccups. Now, if you had to do a tear down of some of the Apple devices, you'd realize that a typical iPhone uses about 60 different elements from the periodic table, including tantalum, like I have mentioned. Now, Apple discloses where it gets most of these elements from. So out of the 60 elements, Apple will disclose where it gets about 50 of them from. But if you look at the conflict minerals, right? Conflict minerals include tin, tungsten, gold, tantalum, like I have mentioned, and cobalt. It doesn't actually declare them. And so given that 80% of the world's, you know, tantalum is coming from DRC, I guess you and I can infer that by all means, there are some components in the iPhone that we are using today and right now that may have blood all over it. Now, I know it's a very, you know, difficult process to track something like this, because unless someone invents a way to chemically track the origin of some of these resources, there's really no way to tell for sure where it is actually coming from. Of course, Apple's audit says that they do not use tantalum from mines in war-torn regions of DRC, and they make sure that all of their 219 smelters are actually, you know, compliant with the ethical rules and regulations that I have mentioned earlier. But here's the thing, right? I did some research on the 219 smelters, and 106 of them are fully compliant. 55 of them have been edited, and about 58 of them are a bit sketchy. And so the sources of the raw materials is still not very clear for us to be able to know. Now, I know that supply chain logistics is a very big web, and it's not going to take just one podcast to unravel or to make it better. But I think companies like Apple, Dell, Microsoft, Sony are actually trying to make sure that they can do things in their capacity to ensure they are able to source these materials in the right way. Now, what can we do to help? I feel like if we are able to bring down demand for some of these products, then the children who are being exploited in DRC and in other war-torn areas for the raw materials for, you know, tantalum production can decrease. How can we decrease our demand? I think that we've had episodes on this podcast where we've mentioned that phones seem to be reaching an asymptotic maximum, right? New year, same phone, maybe a chip inside has changed, maybe the camera has a few megapixels more. And it's the same thing. Why don't we try to use our devices for a little longer, right? Or even if we need to get a new device, why don't we go for a refurbished product where we are sure that components that are being used to manufacture it are actually recycled and are coming from other devices which have been repurposed. I think that as the companies are trying to move towards a greener world and a safer and ethical working environment, if we also are able to bring down our demand, we would be able to affect the things in a very, you know, grand way. Yeah, so I honestly think that just by us choosing to use our devices a little bit longer would go on to reduce demand. And once the demand is reduced, the exploitation, the rights abuse, the conflict funding, and the humanitarian crisis in places like DRC, where coltan is very prevalent, is going to reduce. It's a very, very small input, but I really believe in the power of numbers. And as we all come together, we would be able to keep this in check, at least to a level which is better than we actually came to meet it. Thank you very much for listening. If you have any questions, you can always mention us on Twitter or Instagram. And if you need further clarification, I am always more than happy to provide it. Once again, my name is Kwame Na'atha. This is the Digital Dash Podcast. Make sure you follow us on Twitter and Instagram at digitald_sh. And we would be more than happy to answer any questions that you may have. Until next week, it's goodbye for now.